Father, it's a tremendous joy to know how faithful you are to your covenant, to your promises that you have made. You made one to Adam and Eve right in the beginning, and we just see that you are committed to your word. It doesn't fail. It doesn't get stolen. It gets fulfilled. And we are living in the fulfillment of your incredible promise to Adam and Eve so many years ago. We are living in the fulfillment of your promise to Abraham, to David. We are living in the fulfillment of the promises that you made through the prophets throughout the history of the Israelites. We want to thank you, Father, for that. So this morning, I want to thank you that you are really establishing, you're really taking us into the truth where your Son is the author and perfecter of our faith, and how we are being drawn deeper into a solid faith, a God faith, and how we're being established in this faith that you have given to us. And we want to thank you for what you were doing in our lives, because the more we walk in this incredible faith that you have given to us, the more we begin to see the reality of who you are, of your word, of your promises, of your power, of your sovereignty, of your involvement in our lives. And we want to thank you because of your Son Jesus, who came to bring us and to reconcile us to be once again family with you, Father, fully loved, no longer separated, no longer orphans, but as sons and daughters. And we thank you for this today. Amen. Amen. I want to ask first of all for Esther to share what she shared with me, but I want to record it.
What was, because we speaking about with faith how we come to the throne room. And I don't know about you, but many of us are experiencing how God is establishing a real faith. He's helping us to understand a religious faith and a God faith. And what Esther shared for me was very profound, because it's a joy when people are meditating on the Word of God and getting revelation, because it's now real. And please share, it will inspire many.
Thank you, Bram, for the opportunity. People that know me, or that know me well, will know that I love to quote the verse, "Come boldly to the throne of grace." It's something I've meditated on a lot, and that I have spoken to myself about a lot, to come boldly to the throne of grace. So we don't have to come as wimps. We can go boldly to the Lord and to speak to the Lord and to come before the Lord. And then the last part of the verse says, so that you get help just in time of, you know, so it's always profound for me how the Lord comes through for us just in time also. And I've been concentrating a lot on the boldly, because I guess that's what I needed, you know, to realize that I don't have to come in any other way than boldly. And the version of the Bible that I often read, you know, that also stood out for me, and I think it's also something that I needed, the message I needed at that stage. But for the past couple of weeks, Bram has been using this verse, and it just has such a profound effect on me to just meditate on this verse of how we can come boldly and confidently. But the version that Bram was reading says, come confidently. And I've also been meditating a lot on this. What does it mean, this confidence? Yes, on the one hand, it's boldness. So come with that boldness. Come to the Father, to the throne of grace, with that confidence and boldness. But suddenly, this last week, through Bram's teaching and through some other teaching that I've been listening to how God is our high priest. And I just realized that that confidence also has the other side. So I've been focusing on how I must come. But the confidence also has a totally different side to it. And it has that confidence of what God will do for me. That God will be there for me every time in the time of need. And we need that confidence to know when we go confidently and boldly to the throne of grace, we also need that confidence in that God will always come through for us. That God will be there with his arms outstretched and wants to receive us and wants us to have fellowship with him.
And that's why what you're saying is so profound, because we're dealing with faith. Faith is the assurance. And when we come to God, and we've been looking, this invitation that our Heavenly Father is giving to all of us to be able to come to him with that faith reality. God, as I come to you, you're actually going to help me. You know, because he's loyal, he's committed to the covenant that he has made with us through his son Jesus Christ. And that's what we are looking at. So this morning, as we continue with just celebrating our Lord Jesus Christ, right in Matthew, first of all, when God is speaking about the birth of Jesus, and that, let me just read here from verse 18, Matthew 1 verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. It must have been a surprise. but God had spoken and God had said to Mary, and Mary said, yes, Lord. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and had not wanted to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. There was nothing quiet about this birthday. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And that's from the book of Isaiah chapter 7, where that is quoted. So first of all, I love the language here, because this is God's good news to mankind. And that's why this is not a quiet birth. You're not going to quickly just do this. Say, no, this is for the world to hear the incredible gospel of our Heavenly Father, the good news of God concerning his son Jesus. But also, as we are looking at the confidence in God and his commitment to covenant, as we looked at that word mercy yesterday and last week, in that coming to the throne to receive mercy, that is God's total loyalty to his covenant. He's totally loyal to what he has made covenant with. And so here we see once again how plus minus 700 years ago, where God had shared by the Holy Spirit to the prophet Isaiah concerning the birth of Jesus, that a child will be born from a virgin, etc., and you will call him Emmanuel, God with us. And so we see 700 years of life, 700 years of government, 700 years of world wars, and you name it, all that taking place, and famine and droughts, and you name it, and conflict, and all that taking place. 700 years go past, and God fulfills his word, because he is loyal to his covenant he has made. What about you and I? Is it any different? You see, does God change when he says, I'm going to be committed to what I've said about my son Jesus, but what about us today? Is God suddenly saying, no, I'm going to change my nature. What I've made a covenant with my son concerning your life, I'm not going to fulfill that. You see, he cannot change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we know for certain as we look at this incredible birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and from the time when he said there to Adam and Eve that from you a child will be born that's going to crush Satan's head, right from that very moment, thousands of years pass in with all kinds of things taking place. But God said that a son is going to be born. It's going to be a kingdom that's going to not be handmade. It's going to be a supernatural king and a kingdom that's going to come. The birth of Jesus. And we see how that's taking place. But this kingdom will increase. So as we were singing that first song concerning a king is born, a king of kings and lord of lords, God hasn't changed. And so he's helping us to be established in a solid faith. We're being anchored in a God faith right now. Because who knows what 2024 is going to bring us. See? But what we know is that our God is committed to covenant. He's not going to change. So no matter what 2024 and beyond brings us, we know that 2024, our God is with us. We can come to the throne of grace all the time with this faith that God, thank you, we've got confidence in your incredible faithfulness and your involvement and how you're committed to the covenant that you've made with us through your son Jesus. And so we have that confidence, we have that boldness in going into a coming year, we're going into the future. And that's for me is such a safe place. That's what when we read there in Hebrews chapter 4 about entering into the Sabbath rest, this is what we're speaking about. By faith we enter into this incredible rest that God has blessed us with through his son Jesus Christ. So he says over here that you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And we all know there that the name Jesus refers to the Lord saves. It's God who saves us. So we notice over here that when Jesus is born, it's interesting, and we see how the wise men come and present Jesus with the gifts. It's interesting that they give him gold. That's a gift for a king. How did they know? See, something profound is taking place with the birth of Jesus Christ, that these three wise men could connect in the spiritual realm, understanding the significance of this child being born as a king. It's interesting that they gave him also incense, because he was to be the aroma, to give his life as a living sacrifice for us. It's interesting that they gave him myrrh, because myrrh was the incense for burial. That at his birth already, you can see all the reality of God's incredible loyalty to his word that he had prophesied to the nation many, many years ago about all of this becoming a reality. And that's why you and I, as a child of God, we have been enriched in every way in our lives because of the involvement of a Heavenly Father. I don't think we realize when Jesus said that I'm going to give you another one just like me, Holy Spirit. I don't think we realize the incredible gift of Holy Spirit that is totally involved in every detail of our lives. Okay? So we see here that Jesus has come to save his people from their sins. And it's interesting here that he will be called Emmanuel, God with us. One of the biblical test to know whether we are a child of God or whether we're not a child of God is this very truth, Emmanuel, God with us. Where Christ came, the Son of God, came into this world in the form of a human body. fully God, fully man. And in 1 John chapter 4, this is part of the test that anyone that confesses, anyone that denies the fact that Jesus is not of God, is a liar, is an antichrist. And this is the reality of the struggle throughout history, is that all the time the onslaught, the antichrist onslaught concerning that the Son of God came in the form of a man, in the human flesh, in the body, is the constant onslaught to deny the deity of Jesus Christ. So we see there in Colossians chapter 2, and we read there in verse 9 and 10, the incredible truth that don't be fooled by all the philosophies, but all the stuff that's going around. Be rooted and anchored in Jesus Christ, because He is the mystery of God. All the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God and the understanding of God is contained in His Son, Jesus Christ. And then it carries on and it says here that Jesus, the fullness of the deity, the fullness of God dwells within Jesus Christ. And we have our completeness in Him. That's profound. Because here we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, that right from the very beginning of ages of mankind has been prophesied for a Savior to come to destroy the works of the enemy, to be able to redeem us from our sin, to save us from our sin, to set us free from being captured by sin, etc. All the time there's this prophecy, 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 and a time comes when it's fulfilled. And no man could save us from our sin, because he could not save himself from his own sin. That's why a high priest could not save. He had to, a high priest always had to offer a sacrifice for his own sin before he can go on behalf of Israel to offer the sacrifices. That's why God had to come in the form of a man. Because only he, sinless, could save us from our sin. So he came to save us from our sin. He came to loose us. He came to deliver us from being captive by our sin. He came to set us free from our sin. That's what this word save we'll be speaking about over here, from our sin. Letting go. Remission. When we speak about forgiveness, we're speaking about remission. In other words, we are speaking about God has cancelled the debt. He's cancelled our sin. Because Christ is the one who took our sin away from us. In Him. Now as we're speaking about this, we read here in Hebrews, let's carry on in Hebrews chapter 10. And we are referring here to our incredible Savior Jesus Christ. And because it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin, therefore when Christ came into this world, again, when Christ came into this world, the fullness of deity dwelling in this human form, when Christ came into this world, He said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. See, the body contains the blood. The blood makes the atonement for the sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Christ came to save us from our sin. So now, our Lord Jesus comes, God comes in the form of a human body so that there's blood, innocent blood to be shed. So now that blood has been shed so that our sins are forgiven, we are released from that. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. And then I said, here I am. It is written about me in your scroll. I come to do your will, O God. And then he carries on and it says, first he said, sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. Then he said, here I am. Just that word, I am, the name of God. Here I am. I have come to do your will. He set aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And that once for all for me is such a big thing, because it speaks about the completeness of Christ's death. If you look at religion worldwide, no matter the sacrifices, no matter the rituals, everything that takes place to try and in order for them to have some form of afterlife. None of that counts. The only sacrifice that counts is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But it's totally complete. I don't know about you, but that makes me very secure. I don't know about you, but that makes me very bold to come to the throne of grace, to receive mercy and help in my time of need. Because I'm knowing that His sacrifice is so complete. And I know that my Father is so committed to this complete sacrifice of Jesus concerning us. I know that we can come with the total confidence that my sins have been cancelled. I know that I can come totally into the very presence of God Almighty, knowing that I share in the sonship of Jesus Christ. Knowing that He's declared me righteous. I don't know, for me it's a very secure place to be. A place of rest that we're speaking about. Because of the incredible love of Jesus and coming and says, Father, He has a body, I've come to do Your will. Because only if I come in the form of a man, because blood must be shed, and only in the form of this man, this human body, that blood, that the sinner's blood, is going to be the blood that's going to pay the price for sin to set the people free from their sin. So the blood of Christ is profound, it's powerful, all sufficient. The broken body of Jesus Christ, complete. There's nothing that can bypass that except unbelief in Him. But we do not believe, then we already stand condemned. So we have an incredible truth. And then He carries on and listen to this. And He goes on and He says over here, sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And then He says over here, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, plural, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since the time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice he made perfect forever those who are being made holy. As I shared, I don't know about you, but to know that his blood made me perfect forever, that for me is a big deal. And we may think right now, oh, that's fine. But wait until you're getting close to your deathbed. And then all of a sudden, I wonder if I've done enough. I wonder if this, I wonder that. That may the Spirit of God remind us there's one perfect sacrifice that has done it all. You're secure in that perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Have faith, believe in that, accept that. Very important. Because many fear. I don't know if you know Louis Giglio. He once said something that the birth of Jesus was the death of death. Because He came and brought life eternal. He put death to death. Yeah, and I thought that was a good quote of his. Yeah. But then he says, yeah, he made perfect. And then the Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First he says, this is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where there has been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. So here we see again the incredible ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit now. What does it say? The Holy Spirit testifies. The Holy Spirit shares with you and I who believe about this incredible, perfect sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what the Holy Spirit says. This new covenant that God has made for us. He says, I will put my laws in your heart. Now it's an internal reality. This new covenant. So guys, as we celebrate, remember Jesus, the communion fascinating with the communion. What did Jesus say? This is my body broken for you. This is the blood of the covenant for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this in remembrance of me. Because every time that you eat and you drink, you're participating in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And he says, you're doing this until I return again. So that's profound, because in the communion, there's you and I who are testifying, Jesus, your blood has paid the price. My salvation is so complete in you. In doing this, we are proclaiming not only the sacrifice of Jesus, but we're also proclaiming that Christ is returning again. See, there's that second coming of Jesus involved in our participation with the communion. And that's why Paul writes here that anyone who participates in the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner is guilty. And often they say that's why many are sick and etc., because they're not participating. They were so busy involved in having a nice meal and just fighting over the meal. And they weren't realizing that we are actually testifying what Christ has done for us. They weren't connecting to the reality of the communion. They weren't connecting to the reality that we're doing this and proclaiming that our Lord Jesus Christ is returning again. They weren't connecting to that as well. So that's why, as we have communion this morning, celebrating the birth of Jesus, one thing that we can, I think, take away here, that our Father is loyal to his covenant and he's loyal to you and I. So we go into this coming year with confidence. God, thank you. Because of the blood of Jesus, because of this perfect sacrifice, and I believe, and I'm walking in step with the Holy Spirit, one thing I know, that every promise is a yes. If I come to you and your word has spoken to me, I can come with that faith in my heart, knowing that you're going to be responding, involving the covenant reality, bringing it into my life. And we'll see. So I believe, as we come to the end of this year, I believe, as I've shared a few times now, none of us are the same as we were at the beginning of the year. All of us have grown in Christ Jesus. God has worked tremendously in our lives. So just look ahead into the end of next year and just see, in the willingness to listen and the willingness to yield to God, just see the fullness of our Lord Jesus being made known through our lives. What a profound journey for us to look forward to in the coming year. Just begin to realize what a divine purpose that we have here. Where as we're growing with our Lord Jesus Christ, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Abide in me, you will bear much fruit. This is an incredible journey as we are appropriating what God has been sharing with us all the time as we are growing in this. The fact, the evidence, the truth of Christ's birth, the truth of Christ dying for us, all the whole good news is becoming more tangible through our lives. And many more people this year will be touched because of you and I just walking with God. He loves this community so much that he's given Cecilburg you and I, the body of Christ in a town, the light of this world, worldwide. So we are privileged. So thank you. Thank you for just responding to the Holy Spirit's work. Thank you for celebrating and receiving the fact that Christ came to set us free from our sin. Thank you for believing. Thank you for responding to the grace that God has given to us. And now we want to go and we want to get established in one fact right now, that in him we have been totally enriched in the totality of our lives because of Jesus. When we go home, what a privilege to walk into your home. And because you have accepted the truth, Jesus, I have been so enriched because your grace is involved. to be able to go into your homes and to be able to just say, because I've been so enriched, I want to thank you that you're involved in my family, because we're praying for our families to be saved. Jesus came to save us from our sins. God is committed to that covenant. So Father, we want to thank you as we again are reminded about the very fact of why your son came as a baby, born as a man, and grew up living in this world, but yet without sin. Because it was only you, God, that could deal with the fall of mankind. So we want to thank you that you came as a man. We want to thank you for being that perfect sacrifice on our behalf. We see your heart, Father. We see how you have reached out to once again bring all humanity back into a relationship with you. And you have given us the message of reconciliation. You have given us the ministry of reconciliation. And we want to thank you as we celebrate you, Jesus, this morning, as we eat of the bread again and we drink of the grape juice representing your blood. But we also want to thank you that you are sharing also a little bit more concerning the completeness, but also it's a reminder and a testimony of you returning again. We do this until you come back. And we want to thank you for that. So today we honor you, Jesus. We celebrate you, your love for mankind. We celebrate, Father, your grace in our lives. But we also celebrate the fact that you said Holy Spirit will go and convict the world of the unbelief, of their sin of unbelief, of righteousness and judgment. So we want to thank you that you are committed to that. And so we can come in the name of Jesus and ask in the name of Jesus, Father, may your Holy Spirit do just that. Because whatever we ask in his name, you are committed to that covenant agreement. And he had promised Holy Spirit's ministry. And that's why we have that confidence and that assurance that what we are asking this morning for Holy Spirit to work and to draw people to your Son Jesus Christ, you will do that. Let me thank you. We ask, Father, as we by faith believe this, we want to thank you as you help us to be rooted and established in truth so that we can disciple all those that you are drawing. So by faith we open our hearts and we receive everybody that you have destined to come into our lives to be discipled. And we want to thank you for that privilege and that honor to be involved with you to teach, to disciple all those that now Holy Spirit is drawing to your Son Jesus Christ. Lord, this is the joy with the confidence. It's not just a prayer, it's not just a hope. This is an assurance because you are totally committed to your Son's promise about the Holy Spirit. And that's why by faith we put in action and we say, yes, we receive those that need discipling. But also we thank you for grace upon our lives that's going to empower us to be able to walk journeys with people throughout this year. And we thank you. Lord, we've stepped into a time now where we know we're going to be very, very involved with leading many people into your kingdom and helping many to be established in your kingdom. So we want to thank you for what you've been teaching us, just these foundational truths of being rooted in your Son Jesus. And we want to thank you for this privilege. So Lord, as you said to the Father, here I am to do your will. As we eat and drink, each and every one of us will respond in a different way. But I can say, and I think with many of you here I am to do your will, Father. Here I am, Lord. And I thank you for the privilege to be able to do your will. I thank you for the privilege, Lord Jesus, that together with you we can come to the Father and say, Father, what's on your heart? That we can be involved today to be able to just to bring you tremendous glory and honor. And we thank you for that. through your Son Jesus. Amen. Amen.